Well, Nehemiah 6, you could say that one of the themes here is fear. Nehemiah's in a terribly political situation. He's trying to get the walls rebuilt, and yet the local population don't want that to happen. They're against his program, and there's a lot of the Jews who are involved with the opposition. And Tobiah the Ammonite, who appears to possibly be an apostate Jew, although he is described as an Ammonite, he's well involved with everybody. He's got his children married off into the people of Judah. Verse 18, many in Judah were sworn to him. And so all the time they're trying to put Nehemiah in fear. You're trying to make yourself a king. You're trying to set yourself up in opposition to the Persian government. We've got evidence on you. They keep on repeating this. Come on, we want to have dialogue with you. And he saw through that no, this is not dialogue. You simply want to stop the work. You want to make it cease as you did before. I am not leaving the work to have dialogue with you. You're not interested in dialogue. And you are all the time clearly got an agenda. You're not really looking for peace and unity as you say you are. This is a mantra. And they kept on and on repeating the same thing. They say in verse 6, it's reported commonly amongst the Gentiles. Classic manipulation. Do you know what people are saying about you? It's commonly reported amongst the Gentiles that you and the Jews intend to rebel, and that's why you're building the wall. You want to be their king, according to this report. All this continual pressure on him to make him, of course, fear. And he says in verse 9, they all would have made us afraid. They try to make us afraid, but I wasn't. Because they say their hands will be weakened from the work that had not be done, but now may my hands be strengthened. Well, he's alluding to the restoration prophecies. Verse 3 of Isaiah 35, that the exiles would return and not be afraid. God would strengthen their hands. Jeremiah 30, verse 10, fear not. O my servant Jacob, says the Lord, neither be dismayed. I will save you from the land of your captivity, which is exactly where Nehemiah had come from. Jacob shall return, that is, to the land, and shall be in rest, and none shall make him afraid. All the way through later Isaiah, in so many of those prophecies, do not be afraid, fear not, for I am with you. Isaiah 54, for example, you who have been tossed around by a tempest, referring to how Judah was tossed around in all the 127 provinces of Persia. I will lay your foundations with sapphires, and great shall be the peace of your children. You will be far from oppression. You shall not fear. You shall be saved from terror, for it shall not come near you. Well, the adversaries to the rebuilding did make the returned exiles afraid, as we see here and also in Ezra chapter 3. And Nehemiah urged the people not to be afraid in Nehemiah 4. And here himself, he would not let them make him afraid. We likewise are surrounded, I think, in our lives by people and by situations that encourage us to a totally problem-oriented view of life. That, oh, if you do this, it could appear that. If you say that, well, it could be taken this way. And, well, you know what people are thinking, and all this kind of worry about self-image, all this kind of thing, on whatever level, in the level of church life, and the level of our social life, if we perhaps are Christians living in a totally non-Christian environment, perhaps an environment that's very hostile to Christianity. All these things mount up, and they all have their psychological power to an extent. But the point is that if we are truly doing God's work, and without question, it was God's will that the exiles returned, and it was without doubt God's will that these prophecies about you shall not fear would come true. Now, unfortunately for Nehemiah, the majority of his brethren didn't want to believe those prophecies. But he did, and he says that he was insistent on doing that. There were false prophets like Shemaiah that we've read of, who were making false prophecies, and you know, the state of Judah spiritually was very, very weak. And so there was every reason for Nehemiah to be fearful, but he did not fear. Now, fear is really the opposite of faith, trust in God. And it's particularly difficult when all those around you who are apparently members of the body of believers are also caught up in this problem-oriented view. Now, all the promises of God are amen, Paul says. It is not a case of yes or no, but everything is positive. It's win-win, as he puts it in Philippians 1. Even if you die, well, that is gain. To die is gain, and to live, well, is Christ. And all the way through, you see this, that people are giving in to fear. Zedekiah, you think, oh, well, yeah, he believed Jeremiah's prophecies, but he was worried what the princes of Judah would think of him, and maybe if he surrendered to Babylon, maybe they would abuse him. Fear, whereas Jeremiah's words were quite clear not to fear. And the number of encouragements in the Bible to fear not are absolutely huge. But we live in a world that is increasingly nervous because this might happen, that might happen. As knowledge has been increased and people see on the internet and social media what could happen, there's a tremendous amount of fear. Fear about your health. Don't eat this. Don't eat that. It's bad for you. Don't go there. This might happen to you. Be careful for this. Insurance companies capitalizing on this. Buy this insurance. Buy that insurance. This might happen, etc. We are living in a world that is increasingly fearful. Fearful on the international level, fearful on the personal level. This could happen, that could happen. Whereas Nehemiah really sets us an example that he's surrounded by situations which could really have elicited great fear from him, and the others in the body of believers are giving into it. But he looks at those biblical prophecies which keep on and on about those who are restored from captivity should not fear because God is with them. And he believes it. And he says he refuses to allow them to make him fearful. And you think of timid Timothy. He really was timid, according to how Paul writes to him. And he says, you know, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, that is, of a stable mind, that is not continually living in this problem-oriented view of life, but positively, because we have every reason to be positive, not because we are willfully naive, but because we have a power, the power of the Spirit, behind us and our attempts at ministry, which is far greater and far stronger than anything that is in the world.